I was raised in Sadchester, Massachusetts. I won the Amory Blaine Handsomeness Scholarship to Princeton and then attended Harvard Business School, where I was voted most. I once hit a stand-up triple off Fidel Castro. I was the first person ever to say, I need a vacation from this vacation. The song You're So Vain was in fact written by me. In other words, I have lived. In living, I have learned. And now I want to impart that knowledge to you.
It is May 1988. You just discovered your mom, Barbara, has been having a fling with her boss, Chuck. That's fine, right? She's been divorced 3 years, she's entitled to fun and happiness, but you're not jazzed she didn't confide in you. She's trying to make it up to you by introducing you to each other tonight at the coffee house. So off you go. Coffee. Yuck. Nothing good at the coffee shop. Maybe in time, say 7 years or so, some brave corporation will figure out how to get cool kids like you to drink coffee in milkshake form. But for now, it's a tepid can of Diet Coke with last year's design on it for you. Chuck's here. Mom seems pretty happy. I guess that's cool. Man, Chuck seems really familiar, but you really can't place him. He makes small talk, asks if you've seen Beetlejuice yet. He loved Beetlejuice. What a great movie! He's a bit of a lunk upstairs, but you get it. He's fun and easy to look at. So damn familiar. Where have you met before? Say, Chuck, you ask. Have we met? Wait, how is he ringing? Oh, his briefcase is ringing. Oh, his phone is ringing? He's got a car phone in his briefcase? That's pretty cool. I guess being the boss has its perks. Your mom throws you an impressed yet look. Chuck Denver speaking. Jesus, Chuck Denver's. What sort of goofy ni- Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. That face? That name? Are you Dennis Denver's father? You didn't want to make this night about you, but what the fuck? Are you really this vain? You're halfway home after you bolted out of the coffee house, so it won't be long until you can take this month's quiz and find out. Yes, it's about time to...
Listen to Sassy!
And now, here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Pamela Rubin.
God damn it, Dennis.
I fucking knew it.
God damn it.
All the Denver's men, shady. Shady as hell. Hey, Dave.
Hi.
Hey, Pam.
Wow, I'm reeling. What a twist.
Yep. Pam needs to go lie down.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Pam, you're a professional Hollywood writer.
Let's just keep it at professional.
Yes. I mean, I hope at the end of this run, you'll be turning this into some sort of product for us.
Well, I hope so. A limited series for Netflix. Uh-huh. For sure. For sure. Yeah. You're welcome. It's because I was so ready to like Chuck enough to say that this show would be called Charles in Charge, but I guess not. I mean, maybe. Oh, my God. Where's it going? Dennis, it's an awkward wedding. Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
I picked you up for a third season, Dave.
Yeah, it was new information that Barbara was divorced, so it's less scandalous. She's not having an affair. True. She's just having a fling.
I didn't realize how out of the picture Dad was. I just thought that meant he wasn't home a lot.
All right, well, much to get through in this slumber party, you guys. First, from the corrections department, we were talking about St. Elsewhere. I said it was... in Baltimore. Pam, I apologize. You were right. It is totally set in Boston. I think when I was researching, one of the articles that I looked up about the Tommy Westfall universe was interviewed Tom Fontana, who co-created the show and then went on to co-create Oz. Mm. And I think that's why I had Baltimore on my mind. So I apologize. You were right. I was wrong. You were smart. I am dumb.
No, I don't even remember telling you Boston.
Maybe it was Dave. Then Dave is right. I was wrong. Dave is smart. Yeah. I am dumb.
Another correction is that I mistakenly attributed the roll of dimes in a shotgun to Young Guns 1, and in fact was Young Guns 2, we regret the error. Best dollar 80 I ever spent, he said.
And I regret nothing.
Yeah, Pam has no regrets in life.
So far, we'll see. Let's just quiz it up.
Yeah.
How vain are you? Like, what I've noticed every quiz is that the first quiz of how competitive are you seems to just play in. Mm-hmm. To every quiz I've taken since. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or perhaps I'm just more competitive than anything else that's ever asked.
Right.
so far.
This quiz was really easy for me. Man, this is apparently I am not a vain person at all.
Oh, this is good to hear. So I'm not the only one who failed the vain quiz.
Yeah, I got 1 to 6, and I think my score, if I actually scored myself, is probably like a 2. I mean, my result was 1 to 6, aka try a little, you lazy bitch, which fair.
Yeah, mine really was like, I mean, mascara or something. It's such a pretty smile if you tried.
Like, yeah, okay, so the actual text is, we know there are better ways to spend your time than putting on another coat of mascara, but it's also true that a certain amount of vanity may be just the boost your ego needs to finally ask out that guy from English class or to ask for a raise this summer. So splurge on a new skirt and maybe even try a new haircut to go with it. I wish. You'll be surprised how differently you feel about yourself. Like, I hear what they're saying. Even if when there was not a pandemic on, I don't go anywhere. Like, I already worked from home. I turn it on when I have occasion to, but I'm not going to put on makeup and a cute outfit to sit at my desk for 12 hours in my house. I'm just not.
The quizzes in Sassy really butt up against my British aloofness, leave me alone nature that I inherited. Like, really, a lot of the answers when you get to the results are like, I feel like these should be, good going, Dave, you're not vain at all. But then it ends up being, you should be more vain, which to me feels like the wrong thing to say. Like, I feel like the perfect score here is 0. Mm-hmm. Every perfect score, as far as the Sassy people are concerned, is like 10.
You right always want to be in the middle. You're right.
It should be 0.
Right.
Because you should not be a vain person generally. Vanity is not really a quality that I would say is a positive one, but apparently I am wrong.
It as a sin.
And what I'm learning about myself is I lived a much sheltered, I mean, I know this now. It's not a discovery thanks to this podcast. My life was very sheltered. And I am like a very introverted person. And what I say, you shouldn't be vain. What I mean is you shouldn't have contact with other people. Therefore, you will never be vain because without contact,
yes,
without friends, without trying to impress a girl, there can be no vanity. And that's where I'm at with this quiz.
Dave's goal was not to be perceived. So.
Yeah, like that guy in the Guardians of the Galaxy who doesn't move. So you can't, you know, I'm kind of like him, but socially.
Right.
I've mastered the art of being socially invisible.
I think I answered this as if I were 13.
Oh, okay.
Forgetting about the Sassiest Girl in America quiz coming up. But I probably still would have gotten the same answer. I think because I was like, I remember feeling like that still tracks
right.
often.
Me too. Although, should we go through some of our highlight questions?
Yeah.
My highlight question is 5. Would you rather spend Friday night babysitting than be seen at a party wearing the same dress you wore last weekend? Which I think I probably said no just because I wouldn't want to wear the same thing 2 weekends in a row just on general principles. But I will tell a story about little Tara and how neurotic she was, which is I had a tiny calendar that I kept in my binder at school. And I wrote down my outfit every day that I wore to school so that I didn't wear the same thing on the same weekday because I didn't want anyone to look at me and be like, there's Tara in her Wednesday outfit. As if anyone fucking gave a shit. Like, I was so insane that I was that worried about being perceived, same thing, as like just being clocked as a nerd. As if anyone was paying that much attention to me, no one was.
But was your concern that they would clock a duplication of the day's outfit? So you had to make sure that if you wore Wednesday's outfit again, you had to Thursday it, then Friday it, and week by week it changed.
Yes.
But it was always the same configuration of outfit?
No, I would like wear a sweatshirt with a jeans or a different pair of pants or whatever.
That's the weird neuroses where someone's like, isn't that what you wore exactly last Tuesday?
Yes. But in my mind, it wasn't like I wouldn't think the weird thing would be that someone would remember that. The weirdness that what I was worried about was like, they're right. I did. Anyway, so that was why that was my highlight question, because that was
Amazing.
Something I was worried about at the time. Dave's shaking his head.
Shaking his head.
I went to school with bitches. They were so mean. I cannot tell you how insane they made me. This is like ongoing. This is really bringing back a lot of like the mean girl traumas. They were so mean.
I think the real thing to avoid is not only repeating something on a particular day of the week, but yes, repeating something that is alliterative with that day. So if you were like wearing waiters on Wednesday, then you would be Waiter Wednesday Tara forever, right? So you also have to avoid that. You can't wear
waiters, wellies, wingtips.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say sundress Sundays, but you don't go to school on Sundays, but you understand what I'm saying.
I do.
You just jostled a memory back into my head, Tara, which was like, oh, this is when I learned no on all this shit. And it was, I cared so much about finally getting a Guess skirt with a triangle on my ass and like either the Sharpay Guess t-shirt with all the little Sharpays. Mm-hmm. And then there was just like a clearance sale that happened at the Foley's.
Yep.
Shout out to Jackson, Mississippi. They had a button down shirt that I had. Mm-hmm. I got that. And then they had the denim skirt. And I can't remember if it was full denim. It doesn't matter. The point is, I fucking had it. I had the outfit.
Yep.
The outfit that you were supposed to show up in. The keds were right. The socks were on point.
Yep.
Everything. And I went to the teacher's desk. So awful. And in my I've only seen movies called Zapped kind of way, leaned over the teacher's desk, pointing my ass right at the face of the two girls in the front row who I know cared about, you know, they also read your journal and they were waiting for you to fuck up once, Tara. Like, I know these girls. They would steal your journal when you were doing your homework and then they'd be like, we're gonna check her next Tuesday. We're gonna see you next Tuesday. That's where the phrase comes from, little known fact. I put my ass right in those girls' faces and gave it a little like, I'm sorry, I'm just checking with the teacher to find if I, oops, happen to be in fashion. And I turned around and looked at them, and they looked at me because we all knew what just happened. And I heard one of them say to the other, we don't even wear that anymore anyway. And that is when I had a voice in my head go, it's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. Mm-hmm. None of it matters. None of it matters. And my mom probably regrets this because that's the last time I ever wore something she found decent or understandable.
Oh.
Ever since then, she's like, why do you, why, when will you dress like a girl? I don't know. I don't know. I guess just being a girl dressing isn't enough to dress like a girl. But anyway,
so complicated.
You're right. Like, that was it. That was it. And then Sassy came. And there was this new community of like, fuck all that shit.
They're like, use a picnic basket as a purse. Who cares?
Or a hat.
Yeah.
Two shoes. Whatever you need.
Or a brooch. Where do you get those shoes? They're terrible. There's a sale at JCPenney.
I pulled out, have you ever interrupted a conversation to ask for an opinion of your new haircut? Because I think I full on kombucha girled that answer where I was like, no. He's like, wait, oh, well, for sure. Definitely have. Not, it's fine. But no, I mean, yes, for sure. Mostly because I am someone who likes to double Dutch jump in before there's a pause. And that can often be read as, or correctly interpreted as, interrupting. And I'm working on it right now.
But just for sure, say again.
I would have. No, sorry. I'm going to go ahead.
I feel attacked.
But I can see myself.
All conversation about haircuts personally, because it's a situation, but proceed.
That's the kind of question where I would go, I mean, I'm just not going to say anything about how I cut 9 inches off my hair. It's the haircut. Like, if it was about shoes or, you know, a manicure or even, but a haircut, you do get kind of upset when you're like, it's been 3 days. I have bangs. And they're like, ma'am, this is a Wendy's, right? Like, or whatever it is, ma'am. Because it just says a conversation.
Right.
Doesn't get specific enough. But I probably would eventually be like, nobody's going to talk about how I have a completely different head. I felt that way after reading glasses.
Mm.
I was like, surely everyone will be like, nobody. Everybody was like, haven't you always worn glasses?
That's a Friends That's what happens when Chandler gets glasses.
Well, there you go.
All right, mine is question number 18, and this is how I know there are no husky girls at Sassy. When you go to the mall, do you spend most of the time looking at yourself in the plate glass windows? I go out of my way not to look at myself when I pass glass windows because you see yourself in profile and your brain image where you're like, I kind of look thin. I don't look like I got this big lump in my belly, right? And you pass it and you happen to look at it and then you're like sad for the next 3 hours. You're like, I got to get my shit together. I got a treadmill in the laundry room we bought during the pandemic because we can't go to the gym anymore. And I promised myself I'd use it every day. And then I'm going to get in shape. You know why? Because the older you get, the harder it is to lose weight. And I got to get to it now. I'm on a ticking fucking clock and I got to get on that treadmill. Thanks for the reminder, plate glass window. That's why I know there are no overweight staff members writing these quizzes on Sassy, because that would have been a question, because it is your enemy. It makes you sad every time you pass it. Get on that treadmill.
As someone who answered as the truthful 13-year-old who would have been husky, I do believe I said yes, because, Dave, there's also the one where you're like, oh, there I am again. Yep, still looks like that. I'm just trying to get to the limited without, now I'm at express.
If I don't look at it, it's not a problem. It doesn't exist. Look at the monsters. It's like that situation.
I'm waiting for the one perfect mirror, which is inside Anthropology. And I don't know why, whatever they do, where they're just like, no, don't worry. Everything's great in here. But it's not real. It's a size zero. And you're like, come on, Anthropology. I'm not wearing zero. No, you are today. You just keep checking, Dave. You just feel like, this is the mirror. This is the mirror where I'm going. No, it looks like all those other mirrors. It's weird.
I do have to say at this point, not for the listeners, but mostly for Tara, is the day that I had planned last week to start back on the treadmill. So when I get back on the treadmill after this episode is done recording, it's not because I psyched myself up / out in this very moment. It was already planned last week. Last week was the get back to generally somewhat healthy eating as phase one. Phase two is that plus exercising for once in your life. That is phase two, which is this week.
Yeah.
Awesome.
There we have it.
You can get double credit.
Great.
You can get, I was going to do this and I super psyched myself up. You're the best around. Dave, you got this.
I'll do it next week.
Except the montage is me starting off that like couch to 5K program again, where it's like 1 minute of like slight jogging and then 3 minutes of walking, whatever it is. You put that to the best you're around. It is a really sad scene. You're the best.
Nothing's going to ever. See you next week.
Yes, I have to have the part in the montage where the treadmill is like, well, where are you going to put the big fan if you're going to be walking on me now? Because that's where it's been sitting for the last 2 months.
And like the last scene is me just like, phew, oh, it's such a hard workout, but the treadmill's still going at full speed. And it just shows me sliding back on the treadmill for like 10 seconds it takes, because that's how slow I'm going in the first week.
Yeah.
That's why I don't look at the plate glass.
You're the best.
Never gonna keep you down.
It's going
Buffalo
backwards.
Bills workout tapes. Is he a big fat boy on the treadmill?
Yeah. Oh man, Dave, I'm excited about the Starlog Jam update of how's the run guns? Can we call it run guns?
Yes. Okay. I will give you a run gun update. Yes. Where is Dave on his quest for health?
That's Let's right. Find We're out. Gonna see when you hit 25 miles. We can send you a little awards. However, you need motivation.
So, what was everybody's final scores for? How vain are you?
I just know 1 to 6. I didn't actually score my numbers.
That's right. I didn't either. I could go and look, but it turns out, like I guess for 18, where I hit yes, it's.
You had 18? I guess that's towards the.
No. Number 18.
Oh, number 18. Oh, Jesus.
Glass
I was
going to
say Pam.
One.
Holy shit. We got to talk.
No, we don't. I'm perfect in every fucking way. No, I got. That's why I thought I failed it. I got 0 to 6.
Oh, I see. I got 0. Yeah. Like my score was 0. I answered everything no. Once again, because Dave T. Cole just doesn't want to be bothered, wants to do his own thing. and just wants to be socially invisible. So that, you know, creates a lack of vanity. Don't meet anybody, can't be vain. Nothing to compare to. Invisible.
If your boyfriend said he didn't like your new pants, would you return them? I have done that. Dave. But he's usually right. I mean, and again, he's the one who has to see me the most. But yeah.
Okay, but you're painting that like I was like, well, if I say no, I don't have to look at those shitty pants anymore.
It's just
don't give a shit.
No, it's if I'm on the line of like, what do you think of these? Then I will return them. If I don't care and I like them, then I don't. But I have. If you have said like, no, those look bad, then I have.
I had six. But six was me looking at the mirrors, plate glass windows in you know, depression. So I don't know. It's a soft six.
Yeah. And one of these is like, before a job interview, do you spend more time choosing your lipstick than writing your resume? I'm going to like say that broadly means, you know, getting ready, getting your your head ready.
I also was creating analogs for most of these
to
make them fit.
Yeah.
But yes. Sure. We're not taking these literally.
Right. Yeah. 3/4 of your allowance on makeup or clothes was one where I was like, I understand. By the way, not one of you, I'm just interrupting to say, has noticed that I've been wearing blue eyeshadow this entire time.
It's hard to see on
still
Zoom.
Please, Pam,
please don't blink like that ever again. That was,
I can't. I hurt myself.
Really,
you look great.
Thank you. Maybe I scored 7.
We got a call about the quiz. This is from Kat.
Greetings. From Seattle, Washington, this is Kat. I just took the Am I Vain quiz. I was really happy to learn that I'm no prima donna. I'm just a regular old gal. Even though I did answer yes to the question about whether or not I'd interrupt a conversation to ask for opinions about my new haircut, that is absolutely something I would do. I do care about the way I do care about other people's opinions about my hair. So, but I'm glad to know that that doesn't make me horribly vain. Keep up the good work, you guys.
Thanks, Kat. And Kat included a photo of her hair. Yeah, it's okay.
That's not true. Don't say that. We're sure your hair is wonderful, Kat. Thank you for calling. Keeping it on the fashion tip, we also got a call from Andy.
Hi there. My name is Andy. I'm from Toronto, and I just wanted to comment on white tights being a thing. And I was saved that indignity by my mom, who was a nurse in the 60s trained at St. Joseph's Hospital in Toronto, when she had to wear white tights, white uniform with the cap. And she let teenage me in on a secret that, you know, every woman should know. Very few women look good in white or light-colored tights. Doesn't matter size or shape or age. They just do no woman any favors. So I was thankfully spared the tragedy of white tights in the 80s and 90s because my mom let me in on that little secret because she went through it for her uniform. So anyway, love the show. It's my smile of the week usually. Thanks so much. Bye.
Oh, thanks.
She might have worked with your mom, Dave.
Same area. Same profession, but yeah.
Yeah, it's so true. White tights are a no. We have a couple of calls about pop culture. Before we play them, we did get one from Allison that we are not going to play. She is the person, we didn't know her name when she called before. She had gone to see Chuck Berry at Aquafest, and she just wanted to say she felt bad. She did not know about Chuck Berry's scandalous history. Allison, I don't think you have anything to apologize or feel bad about. I think no one necessarily who didn't read Spy magazine in the 90s knows that information at their fingertips. So it's fine. But thank you for calling back. And please keep listening. We love you. And we love your call.
I want to thank listener Toy, who sent in a 7-inch, which I was like, is that a 45? But it's a 7-inch, the Sub Pop 7-inch that was included with the 1992 issue. And I'm going to hang on to it until we get there. But since that's some time from now, I wanted to tell you that it is here. And thank you. And I haven't listened to it yet because I also never want to open the last Christmas present. So we'll get there.
We will.
Thanks.
years from now, boy, 92, mm-hmm. it's so far. Mm-hmm. But we did get this wonderful call from Brandy.
Hello, this is Brandy in Dallas. And I am calling because your Instagram, you just posted an Instagram about Tiffany, and it, I had to call you and tell you this story. I loved her in my youth. I am 40, so she was the perfect, like, early puberty pop star for me. I loved, loved, loved her. And then in my early 20s, I worked in adjacent to entertainment and ended up in an event where the person I worked for had a staff person who was friends with Tiffany, and she was also at the party. So I am like 24 and she's there and I'm freaking out. And they're like, do you want to meet her? Do you want to meet her? And so I go and I'm like, yes, I'm going to meet Tiffany. This is happening. I can't believe it. I'm so excited. I get to go talk to her and she would not leave me alone for the rest of the night. I had to like signal my husband from across the room, please come get me out of this conversation. It broke my heart. That's why they tell you never to meet your heroes. She wasn't bad. She was just annoying. And it was so awful. And I was so young and I was at a work event and I was in way over my head. And all I could think was I have got to get out of this conversation. So I did get a picture, but in my head, she is only 80s Tiffany and not early 2000s Tiffany because that Tiffany broke my heart. I love you guys. Thank you for your show and all your writing. You're both wonderful. All of you are wonderful. It's all good. Thank you. Bye.
I love that story. Just mentally just erased that she's still just 80s Tiffany as far as you're concerned, and that the picture happened, but everything else just didn't for your memories. It's so good. Sometimes people are annoying.
True.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
Don't have a name on this call, but let's play it.
Hey, guys, really enjoying the podcast. Very funny stuff. Definitely not the target audience because I was 11 around this time and it was not in my wheelhouse. But just got done with the last podcast where you talked about Big Pig and hearing those first couple of notes made me go, that's the Bill and Ted soundtrack. I know it. And I had not heard that in a million years. And so I went back and listened to it, and boy, is it shit. It is just absolute trash. But for purposes here, take a look at the last song. It's a band called Power Tool, and it's Two Heads Are Better Than One. And so much to say about it. Just, it's a band, and they are bad. It's... You just need to look up Power Tool, and let's let Pam, skip Pam 5 minutes to just eviscerate the lyrics in that, because, oh my goodness, it is not fit for 2021. That is for damn sure. Anyway, enjoy the show. Thanks.
Thank you, caller, and we really appreciate you calling during your big snowshoe walk.
Just walking on gravel.
To town. He's like Togo, but a human. He's got to get the cure to that Alaskan frontier town where everybody dies. But first, let me tell you about Big Pig.
All right.
We were on his walk or his commute or something.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I just like the crunchiness, and it makes me feel like he's wearing snowshoes.
I appreciate that this caller put our phone number into his phone so that he could pause the podcast and call us at any time with a story, because everyone should be doing that. This is what we want. So I clipped a little bit of Two Heads Are Better Than One from Power Tool.
Thank you. We've heard enough. Thank you.
So we found ourselves in Vegas. So two guys, This little blonde dolly in the hotel lobby blew a kiss as she walked our way. She said, I'm feeling kind of lonely, and gave us a wink. Feeling bold, we expressed our intentions. We said, you gotta have both. She said, that's a joke. It takes two just to get my attention. Both to share and share alike. That's a part of our lifestyle. So I'm gonna tell you, baby, just where we stand. If you won't love us both, it ain't what's wild. Because two in parentheses, heads are better than one. So unclear if they're having a threesome with her or if she's sequentially blowing them or whatevering them or what.
But Tara, it says in the first stanza, they're brothers.
I missed that. All right. So hopefully sequentially, I missed that part.
I wonder what they scored in the how competitive are you quiz.
And compatible. Hello.
Yeah.
I definitely.
Wait, hang on. I got something for this.
Gross.
I like it. The whole time I was like, this is another song. When you're hearing it, you're like, this is another song. I can't hear it, but you could drop out their lyrics. That's another song.
If you didn't tell me who that was, I would have guessed that's Warrant.
Yeah.
Singer of Cherry Pie. It's got the same sort of vibe to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're brothers, and they made a pact, according to this, after they had a big fight, a physical fight with each other for a pretty girl smile. I guess he took his girlfriend. So they beat each other up until they were black and blue. And when we told her it was time, she'd made up her mind and said, I've had it with the both of you. That was when the pact was made. No woman could ever sever. We swore it, brother, for the rest of our lives. We would stick together forever. Ew, stick. Ew. So gross, you guys.
So the rule is
power tools.
They always, if a woman is going to have sex with one of them, she has to fuck them both. That's the rule.
That's the rule. We've come this far together. Gross. It's too late for turning back. But it's only fair to warn you that when you rock with the boys, you never come back. Gross.
Now, I see why they picked this for Bill and Ted's. Because if you only hear the chorus, you're like, two heads are better than one, just like Bill and Ted. And then the first is like, oh, yuck. That's not what this is about at all. Yeah.
Just to answer your threesome question, I'm sorry, I don't even know how to say threesome. Two heads are better than one. It's double the pleasure, babe. It's triple the fun.
Oh, so that's no, guys, here. No.
Don't want to deep dive on two heads, but thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Thank you for coming to my Bill and Ted.
Yeah, I don't want to deep dive on the deep dive. Saying deep dive.
Gross.
Wow.
It's gross.
That was a very important call. Thank you so much for bringing this to our attention.
Whew. Who knew?
And then finally, we have this from Emily.
Hey, Dave, Pam, and Tara. I just finished the episode for this week. I'm a little late. It's Sunday. But I'm Emily. I'm from Oregon. And I was thinking about other words for farts, and my grandmother, who can no longer move, you know, she's lost mobility in her later years. My new puppy was sitting in her lap once, and he was apparently farting a lot of times. And so she looks over at me and she says, Emily, can you please come get this dog? He's blowing Wendy's. And not Wendy's like the burger place, but wind like the air. I always thought that phrase was very strange, but I immediately knew what she meant, even though I hadn't heard the dog fart at all. But he looked super guilty because he was. So anyway, I wanted to share my weird dog fart story with you guys. I love the podcast. I hope everybody's doing well. Bye.
First, I thought that story was that her grandmother, who can no longer move that well, really takes pleasure in farting. And then there was going to be a whole bunch of things about that. Because I think that's what I'm going to be when I get a little older and can no longer move because I forgot to go on the treadmill and I'm now 500 pounds, is that I'll be farting and that'll be like my one joy in life because I can't reach the remote to watch TV or anything like that.
It's nice to have a brand, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Right. I noticed that she named you first in that rundown.
I noticed that too.
That was not an accident, I don't think.
That's good. I like that.
Thank you, Emily. That was gorgeous.
Yeah. I'm blowing Wendy's is getting in the vernacular over here for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying the other day to Tara, at just after maybe I farted, like a really good long one, that it would be great if dogs did that too. Because dog farts are usually silent or they're just like, that's it. But what if you had a dog that was like, ruff, 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 and then it looked at you and that'd be the cutest thing ever. That'd be great.
And I was saying, I'm sure there are dogs that do fart like that.
If you know a dog that does that, call us.
720 no, Sassy Go.
Dave. Oh, God damn it. We're going to have a fourth show, which is just the dog fart quiz. How farty is your dog?
I mean, God. I do want to know.
I mean, my dog has definitely made a sound and then looked at her butt and then looked at us and was yes. like, glory. Yeah.
That's the cutest thing when they're confused. They don't know what happened.
Oh, she knows what happened. Because well. She'll be like, did you just see that other dog come through here? I don't know what you're feeding her. Let's go outside and throw this ball for a minute. Just you and me. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, Murray sometimes farts and it sounds like when a baby farts. Like, it's just, it's a very adorable sound. You know what it sounds like when a baby farts, Pam. You've had a baby. Anyway, that fart talk. Emily, thank you for
Jesus Christ.
bringing down the IQ of the podcast even more. We have a bonus segment in this episode, which is... We are all going to answer the questions in the Sassiest Girl in America application we mentioned in the last episode, that this was the issue in which they announced the Sassiest Girl in America contest. So we're going to go through it. Starting now.
Oh, my God. Now I feel competitive again. I see where it's coming from.
All right. Let's do this. Let's do roundtable style, starting with first question: honors, comma awards, comma prizes won.
So I wrote down National Junior Honor Society, and then every version of Gifted and Talented I'd been in, and all the different schools: APAC, Gate, Tag, Open Doors, Challenger. Honorable mention art, that would have been like kindergarten, but I probably put it there. And then second place track and field relay, and then Book It, the Pizza Hut Book It program, which is a story for a different day, but it was a very important part of my sixth grade.
Okay.
Did you have Book It? Do you know Book It?
I know Book It. I didn't do it. I don't think we had it in Canada.
You ate pizzas and read books. It was a fitness success program. It was to inspire a healthy attitude. So I really, every time I read now, I'm like, this needs deep dish, little pepperoni, personal sized. It'll never go away.
I was also in Gifted and Talented, although I don't know if that was like an honor or, well, it wasn't at our school, but, and I don't remember specifics at this point, but I had won various music competitions as a flautist. Both as a soloist and in small ensembles. And I had also won an oratory contest in grade one, but I probably would not have included that because I was in grade eight by this point.
The only awards I remember getting were all in my last year when I graduated. So at this point, none, but eventually most valuable member of the history club.
Ooh.
And I graduated top of my class. Look at me now talking about sassy. Yeah, I racked up all the scholarships in my last year,
nice.
Which is ironic because I never finished university. I've got like a credit and a half to go for my degree, but who cares?
Yeah. Oh, so you're answering like a graduating high schooler?
Well, that's the only thing I can remember. I mean, I never had any awards before that.
He's older than we are. He was 16.
Oh, so 88. Yeah.
And he had skipped a year. So
okay. Good job, Dave.
Nerd. All right. Starlog Jam. Next, the first proper question is, what is your motto? Pam, what is your motto as a 19? We should specify, we're answering all of these questions as though we were, as ourselves in 1988. So Pam, what is little Pam's motto at age 13?
I really try to remember what I probably wrote because there's no doubt in my mind I entered this contest. Because at first I was like, you know, if someone tells you no, that's just a reason to figure out how you're yes or like some right. whatever. But that I don't think I had gotten that activist feminist enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I settled with what I probably said and wrote the most, which was write me back.
That's sweet.
It's not much of a motto, but it was probably the my Lilas. Write me back, Pam. Just a small threat and a wish. Write me back.
I wrote one sound, but it probably would have been something else that we would have said in, like, the psych circle before band shows. I tried to find something that was, like, contemporary from the time, but I couldn't. Because, you know, this was before the internet. 1988, there was not a web presence yet for the Pride of the Lions, which was the marching band I was in. But it definitely would have been something band related.
I put down, let's talk about your big butt.
Jesus.
From Pee-wee's Big Adventure, which I always thought was great. And, you know, got a lot of meetings, and I would never mean it like your butt.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I really enjoyed Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and I think I was carrying Pee-wee Big Adventure quotes and things like that, like, 3 years later. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. Question number two is, like, nine questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Favorites. So we're going to do these very quickly. Pam, favorite movie?
Broadcast News.
Mine's Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Dave?
Star Wars, Star Log Jam.
Okay. Favorite book? Pam?
The Outsiders.
Mine is Homecoming by Cynthia Voigt. Dave?
Oh, I didn't see book. I don't have it. Also, I didn't read.
There was a Pizza Hut's Booksmart.
Top honors, huh?
Program at the time.
Let's see.
Does Dynamite Magazine count? Is that a book?
You made such a face when I said Broadcast News, but I need you to know that, like, I made 13-year-old boys. Oh, well, I can't help who
such
it was.
A good movie,
I was
though.
A woman. I was a woman before I was 12. I was a woman before my first period. And all I wanted was men to be women with me and just sit down and go, I love you too. You are Albert Brooks and I see you. It's sad, but it's true.
So good. All right. TV show, Pam.
21 Jump Street.
Of course. Mine was A Different World. Loved Denise. Dave.
A-Team.
Nice.
Man of Simple Pleasures.
Mm-hmm. Day of the week.
Saturday.
Mine's Thursday. Almost the weekend.
You guys had Thursday. The most judgy faces on Saturday. You both went, oh.
No, because Saturday is the day you. No. Saturday is the day you think is the best because you're like, that is the most day off, the furthest away from something you don't like doing, going to school, right? But it's actually Friday is the best. Friday night. Because, like, if you got the whole weekend ahead of you, you can just fuck up all you want on Friday night, and then you've got the rest of the weekend to do whatever you were supposed to do or needed to do. Friday night is, like, the freebie. And I don't know what the hell's going on with Thursday. That is some
best
real...
TV night! Duh!
TV night. Okay. I get that tracks.
Mine was very Saturday Night Live. I had started with Friday night because I agree with you, Dave, because you get the best of both worlds. You get school and Friday night videos.
Wait, best of both worlds. One of the best is school?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Like, not the people at school. School. Okay. Like, doing school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get to take some tests.
I didn't hate school, but it never felt like yay school.
Yeah.
That's a weird,
I was very yay
that's
school.
Foreign to me. That's foreign.
I hated, you know, the bus, like, social situations were not easy for me, but answering questions and reading the things teachers wanted you to do, you could just do that and get some validation in your day and then move on.
I thought this was going to be Friday across the board. I am stunned and shocked. That day of the week is going to be the most controversial answer in the Sassiest Girl in America contest.
All right, moving on from this morass. Favorite place?
My room.
Mine was Wilson, a stationery store, and that is a true answer because I was
God,
a nerd.
That is the most Tara thing I've heard in years.
It's the truth.
You have boxes of stationery in the house that will never be used. It's just going to be something somebody's going to throw out 30 years from now.
It wasn't even a stationery store. It was an office supply store. I would, like, go and look and see what new pens they got. That's not even a joke. It's the truth.
By the way, that's exactly how much longer you have on Earth. 30 years. I figured it out.
I like that he also was like, somebody's throwing it away. It's not me.
There's a lot of debate over which one of us is going to die first. Anyway, Dave, what is your favorite place?
The computer lab. Star Log Jam. We didn't even have real computers, and I still love the computer lab. We had, in Ontario, Canada, there was this program. I'm sure it was a gigantic boondoggle, but they had, like, these computers that only existed in Ontario classrooms, didn't exist anywhere else, used a language only used on those computers. They were called Pogos or something like that.
Wow.
and they had like a special trackball built into the actual chassis of the computer. Mm-hmm. And they were terrible, but I still used them because they were computers. And I love computers. Computers, they understand things.
The only reason this one was my room was because I had yet to discover Katie Budget Books, which would become my favorite place in Katie.
Aww. Now, if we go outside of the computer lab, the closest thing like that I would say is like a real answer for somebody who's supposed to be a normal teenage boy would be the arcade. Mm-hmm. This mm-hmm. is back when we still had arcades. Kids, ask your parents. Arcades right. were fantastic, scary places because they had what you wanted most in life, which is video games.
Right.
And mm-hmm. your allowance like gave you enough that you could play a little bit and not feel like you're wasting all your money. You can like spend $2, you get 8 games. Until Dragon's Lair came about, and that was like 50 cents mm-hmm. a play. What the fuck?
Yeah.
That seems outrageous. Outrageous!
The technology was revolutionary.
Don Bluth, you've upended the video game economy. But also, arcades were super scary because that's where all the older teenagers would go as well.
So many. They knew all the rules.
You knew it was risky if you're in a place that had both video games and billiards tables. That was the real risky places because the older teenagers who love cigarettes and smoking would go to those for the billiards tables, and yep. you'd be there just trying to play Miss Pac-Man or Battle Zone or Narc or whatever the game of the week was. And you thought maybe you would get mugged or just beat up because you figured that's what older kids do. They just right. beat up younger kids. That's what movies have taught you.
Favorite animal?
Yeah, favorite
leave
animal.
That there, Dave. My cat. I was very specific. My cat.
Yeah, I was pretty indifferent to animals at the time, but I probably would have said some kind of wild cat, like leopard or panther.
I was fascinated with the platypus because it was like a Frankenstein animal. It's like,
that's a very
not
Dave
right.
answer.
That's like a couple things somebody glued together. But then like you're like, oh, it really is a real thing. And there's a part of the earth where all weird creatures come from, and it's called Australia. And what's wrong with the things down there? Like things that just hop and have pockets, and the other like smaller versions of them live in the pocket. Like I think that's where they got the idea from Master Blaster from kangaroos, because one is sort of like riding in the other. Mm-hmm. And then one of them was the duck-billed platypus, which you're looking at it like, nah. But yeah, it's real. And mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of neat.
It might platypus. Be a Dave answer, but it sounds to me like an answer from The Trip, where it's one of them is answering for an interview for Rolling Stone or whatever. Like, I've always been fascinated with the platypus. And someone else, no, you were not. This is absurd.
I wish I could do a Michael Caine right now and I would describe the platypus.
He was only a small platypus. He was just 16. Yes. He graduated at top honors at only 16. Never completed another day of school.
Speaking of
Thursdays which... Thursdays are the best days. This is when the platypus is at his best. Tara, what is your favorite school subject?
My favorite school subject was English, of course. Pam?
Me too. Mm-hmm. English.
Dave?
History. Mm-hmm. Like the second is like, would have been like geography. And it's like history way up here in the clouds. Geography, you know, top of your house. Tops.
Okay.
Well, take that, roof.
Favorite piece of furniture? Pam?
The weirdest question, but so I wrote typewriter.
That's
not furniture.
Not furniture.
I know that. And that's why I put it. But I mean, I don't, it's not my bed. I don't know.
Okay.
It's a real Saturday answer.
We had this armchair.
I always been fascinated with the platypus.
Yes. Master Wayne, look at this platypus. That's not a good Michael Caine. I wish I could do Michael Caine, guys. This would be so great if I was doing Michael Caine right now, describing the platypus.
There's no way you would ever do a proper. It's not good. None of my impressions are good. They go right into Adam Sandler seamlessly.
Adam Sandler? I thought you were doing Katherine Hepburn in the middle of there somewhere.
Listen.
Your Adam Sandler is also terrible. Just FYI.
I'm very good. My Adam Sandler is amazing.
All right. we had an armchair that was basically like a cube. It had like really, really high sides. So it was very good for curling up in. That was my favorite piece of furniture. Dave.
Oh, God. Oh, the recliner we had downstairs. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. My dad really loved recliners. From the day I noticed we had a recliner till the day he left us, he loved that recliner. And it's fun when you're a kid. You got that arm in the back, you know.
Bonk. And then you're way back here.
Yep.
You know we're near the mic now, so you have to shout because you're in your comfy, comfy recliner. And then like something gets serious and you're like, oh, shit.
Oh, what's up? What's happening? Recliners.
Yeah.
Finally, favorite music video, Pam.
Patience by Guns N' Roses.
Mm-hmm. Sledgehammer by Peter Gabriel.
I also put Sledgehammer
with
a tie. Aww. With a tie. With a tie!
Uh-huh.
With Genesis Land of Confusion with the...
the spitting
image
puppets?
Scariest I love that. Videos
oh,
of
man,
all time.
Oh, man, I love Splitting Image. That was great. When I was a kid, Splitting Image. Fantastic. For like... And it was like the hot... It was to puppetry what... Mm-hmm. The Oz guy was to Australia and Crocodile Dundee. For a good three quarters of a year, we were all really fascinated with Australia / Splitting Image puppets. And
it's Spitting Image, not Splitting Image.
Oh, is it Spitting? Okay.
Yeah.
Spitting Image, excuse me. And now both don't exist. No longer have Spitting Image and Australia no longer exists.
I'm pretty sure Spitting Image had a show last year.
They relocated the platypus. And then they wipe Australia off the face of the earth. Okay. It was the only way to deal with the spiders.
I think you're wrong about Spitting Image because I think they had a Greta Thunberg puppet and it was very controversial. Anyway.
I wasted my Midnight Oil callback. Just got talked right over.
Sorry.
When will we shave it? She was only 17 when she shaved it all.
You can just edit me out.
I hope you like my newest movie. I'm at Netflix.
Okay, genuinely don't know who you're doing right now. That is not a bit. I could be like four things you've done tried in the past.
I think they were better when I was younger. I think I've lost it. I think I've lost it.
All right. Question
number
three.
How can we sleep while a platypus says,
Okay. Question number three.
Yeah.
Three. This is the rapid fire. We finally finished the rapid fire.
Yeah.
I blame Dave. He was the one who was slowing shit down. If you were to be stranded alone on a desert island, what three things would you bring, Pam?
Johnny Depp, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and my diary.
Wait.
What?
It's a thing.
Rapid
not
fire,
a
don't
person.
Think about it.
Johnny, don't do
He's John. Not a... What? I can't bring Johnny Depp to my desert island?
I don't think that's the nature of the question.
He's not a thing.
Whoa. Okay, everybody. Fine. My cat? I can't bring my cat then?
Yeah,
my
you can
cat,
bring cat.
Johnny Depp. But, well, why is my cat less of a valid existence than Johnny Depp?
Because it's a cat, not a person.
Wow.
Girl, unless you have a platypus situation where it's like a cat and Johnny Depp.
The problem is my cat's not going to want to be on a desert island, but I will bring him anyway. It'll be a copy of The Outsiders, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and something that I can play them on. Ah!
I think Sassy would accept Johnny Depp as an answer, so I think that's accurate.
Thank you. Thank you.
I would boringly bring a tent, extra socks, and Lady Oracle by Margaret Atwood, because I thought it through like a fucking nerd.
Socks.
Nerd! I want extra socks right now. My feet are always cold.
You want to talk nerd, Tara?
Yeah.
I also had tent.
Yeah?
But I thought ahead.
Okay.
Because there is no way teenager us... is ever going to be assemble a tent properly.
That's true.
Keep in mind, this is a desert island. So not only is it hard to pitch a tent, keep in mind, this is the 80s.
Yeah.
Tents didn't have that magical thing where you're like, tent, assemble. And you're like, you press a button and it just pops up into a dome.
Yeah.
You had to get like ropes and stakes and it's all sandy soil. Even if you knew what you were doing, it was going to be a difficult. So I specified, I want a party tent.
Oh, that's smart.
Huh? Who's using their
noodle? What's a party tent?
Like at a wedding or something, you know, for an outdoor tent where they would have chairs and tables set up.
When you said it, I heard it like a party line, and it's like, hey, like people come with the tent, which seems very unlike you. They're just like, hey, Dave.
You can use a party tent for a party, but you don't have to have a party in a party tent. A party tent is describing, Pam, the style of tent. It's like a temporary longhouse, if you will.
Sure. A carport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of. A forever supply of Harvey's burgers. And Harvey's is a Canadian burger chain. I don't even know what the equivalent would be. Maybe like Fuddruckers or something.
Yeah.
If Fuddruckers was less of a sit-down place and more of a fast food place. Mm-hmm. You go into Harvey's, you get whatever you want, a hot dog or hamburger. And as you go down the kind of cafeteria-esque tray slidey thing, you tell them what to put on your burger and they do it for you in real time. You can see it. And you're like, no, 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 no. More pickles, please. And they're like, really? Because there's more pickles than meat on this right now. And I'm like, I'm the customer. I want extra pickles. And you'll be giving me more pickles. And like by the end of it, there's like 10 pickle slices on it. And I'm like eating it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, she was right. This is too much pickle. And then I would do it again next time. Because in my brain, I'm like, more pickles, better burger. So that. And then my final one is my Amiga 2000 computer. Dialog jam. Not the Amiga 500, which I skipped the Amiga 500. Amiga 500 was your entry Amiga, sort of like the VIC-20 versus the Commodore 64. That was your Amiga 500 versus 2000. 2000 was the shit. That's the one where he plays Shadow of the Beast on with the parallax scrolling Starlog Jam.
I had a VIC-20.
I did too. I had a VIC-20, Commodore 64, Amiga 2000, and then I finally moved to PC. For my next one, and then after that I had Mac, and then back to PC, and then finally back to Mac about 20 years ago.
We had an Atari ST.
Wow, those were the shittiest. With the real keyboard or the keyboard with the memory bubbles? Did it have a keyboard or did you have like little...
It had a real keyboard.
Okay.
Well, it had a real keyboard. My Commodore VIC-20, you know, we had to buy the cassette tape player that would play some games.
Yeah, we had that.
You could only slam so many into the back of that keyboard before it was done. And then... Yeah, my dad was like, Tandy, that'll never take off. So we got the Atari ST.
All right, question number four. Name three things that make you really angry, Pam.
Animal cruelty, wrong answers, my sister.
Nice.
I think this is probably what I put.
Yeah, that sounds right. See, I went in the opposite order of selfishness. I put being taken for granted. This would have definitely referred to being made to... babysit my sister, which I had to do a lot because she was 7.5 years younger than me. Not being taken seriously, which was something that I thought was a big problem. And then literally in my notes, I have the state of the environment, 3 question marks, because I would have thought that I needed to put something that made me sound serious after not being worried about not being taken seriously. That's my asshole answers, Dave.
I don't think I got that sort of I need to save the world pretension until I got to university. Mm-hmm. I was very practical about things I would be angry about on this quiz at the time. They are people who don't share their pirated computer games and programs with you. There's like a certain brotherhood of those of us who would get those floppy disks and we would share programs with each other when we happened to get them. And this is pre-internet. Like, sure, we had FidoNet and some like very early BBSs where you could, in theory, trade stuff. You know, it was very complicated. It was like it was like the Usenet of its day. Usenet, children ask your parents. Mm-hmm. But when you had somebody who you know somehow was really connected to the scene and was getting that pirated shit day one, and they're like lording it over you, like, eh, maybe I will, maybe I won't. I don't know. What are you going to do for me? Like, fuck you. Give me that program. I need to play Jumpman 2. That's number one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number two is trying new foods. Don't make me try new foods. I'm a very picky eater.
Yeah.
I didn't like hamburgers until I was about 12. I would always try to get a hot dog wherever I went. That's why I loved Harvey's for the longest time, because Harvey's had a hot dog option. So my dad would go there and get a burger, and he'd be like, do you want a burger? I was like, no, Dad, I want a hot dog, and I want 12 pickles on it. And the trying new food thing, I had this friend in grade school. What was his name? His name was Niraj. His family was from India. He was born here, but like his parents were from India. And I remember going over there once for a sleepover, and his mother insisted that I eat Indian food. And I was like probably 14 or so. And nothing scares you more when you're a 14-year-old than foreign food, 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 especially when it smelled like nothing you've smelled before. And it's all scary and different. And they're like, no, it's good. It's, I don't know, it's probably just like super mild curry, something or other, right? My friend was like mortified this was happening, that I was being forced to eat food again. Like, don't do that, mom. No, no. And I was like, I don't know how to act. I really don't want to eat it, but also I have to be polite. It was a real conundrum. And eventually we hit a bargain. I would try one spoonful. And if I didn't like it, I didn't have to have any more. And I didn't like it. And I didn't have any more. Ironic, because the question was, what's the food you would bring to the desert island? It would definitely be Indian food, because that is my favorite by far.
We've all grown.
And the third thing that makes me angry was exercise or gym class.
Yeah.
Please don't make me do either of those things. If it had purpose, it was the enemy, and I hated it.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't think I would say it made me angry, but I definitely was failing gym this year.
Well, it's a scary anger, right? Because you hate gym, but it also you fear it, because that's, again, where all the bad kids excelled.
Right.
You know, like gym class, shop class, these are the places you don't want to be, because you'll find yourself alone with those older teenagers or those teenagers your age that smoke, and they're probably going to knife you when you're not looking.
Question number 5.
Dave, were you ever confronted in a hallway with a shop class smoker? Did that ever happen? I just made this to kill you.
Okay, so, you know, this is generalizing, but the shop class boys, let's call them, that you knew as soon as they could leave high school, they were going to. There's going to be no higher education for these guys. They're going straight from here.
I get it.
They're going to become your mechanic. They're going to become professional smokers.
Easy.
They're bad dudes. And
this
you're
is
scared
your perception
of them.
as a child.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
That was, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they would beat up kids in the hall all the time. They had testosterone problems or something. I don't know. But they were to be feared for good reason. And that's why I hated all those types of classes. It's also why I also did really good in home ec. That was my jam. I got like 88 home ec, and I got like 61 in shop because I was scared.
Question 5.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. How do you think your friends would describe you, Pam?
Weird.
Mm-hmm. I said funny, even though I'm the stick of the mud in the mud of this podcast, apparently.
Wow.
That, my friends at the time, I was the funny one.
Oh, wait. No, you're not. I think that's what we're supposed to say. Right, Pam? Bam. Don't you?
Yes, definitely. You, I was like, where did you? Yes, we didn't say that.
Not Tara.
No, come on.
Dave?
Also, I said funny, but I realized that I thought I was hilarious. I was kind of the class clown, but not because of, like, I was the class clown, but also I was like fucking, like, straight A student too, so it was a weird combo, because usually I feel like the class clown is like just trying to deflect from everything,
right?
But for me it was just a way to keep everybody at bay socially. You'll never know the real me, as I do my Pee Wee Herman quotes.
right. Number 6, what do you want to be doing in 10 years in 15 words or less, Pam?
Working at Sassy or writing.
Mm-hmm. This would have been around the time I was working on my bad teen novel, guys. So I might have said I wanted to be a novelist. I don't think I understood yet what an editor was. That was my ambition later. But yeah, novelist is probably what I would have said at this time.
Look how close it stays to me, Tara.
Oh.
Don't worry about that.
What? That photo.
It's that close to me.
Pam is holding up Tara's self-published novel called Untitled, A Bad Teen Novel.
Yes. There'll be more information about this tome
something.
In the outro.
It's something.
It is. Dave.
I figured at the time, when you don't know what you're going to do in life, the answer is probably I'll teach, because I love this thing and I'll teach this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was either that or do computer stuff. And that was probably as much thought as I gave it, computer stuff, which turned out to be true. I did computer stuff and kind of stuck with it. Although computer stuff has meant many different things over the years.
Sure has.
Including this podcast. But yeah, that's kind of where life took me.
Right. All right. Question 7. What is the one thing that makes you different from other people your age, Pam?
I wrote moved a lot. I find I probably just say that a lot.
Yeah.
I thought you meant like...
No, Dave's treadmill. I spend most of my time on Dave's treadmill.
I would probably lie that I was not focused on popularity and that it was important to me to have an open heart for everyone I met. But the truth was that at this time, I was still morbidly obsessed with getting in with the popular bitches at school. That was a lie.
Pam never stops moving. She dances and tells you which direction to go. She's like a bee.
Follow me to fun.
Makes her different. I'm Adam Sandler.
I'm Adam fucking Sandler. God damn it.
I was kind of convinced we'd all have the same answer for this, which is what all kids think, which is I'm very mature for my age. I wasn't.
I definitely thought that.
I was watching broadcast news, so I believe I was mature for my age.
I mean, I did say I would bring Lady Oracle to my fucking desert island, so...
I have another trait to add to the kids to be scared of in school. And this relates directly to Starlog Jam, which is kids that would now be hosting Fangoria Storia or something like that. Fangoria magazine. Kids that were really into horror films. Watch out. Because horror films in the 80s were all about just guys putting machetes through people's heads. That was like horror. Back then, and they were really, really, really into it, and they were super scary people.
Okay.
See, and then I would date them.
Number 8. What have you done to support any cause, from buying canned turkey for a food drive to spending an hour a week at a nursing home, Pam?
I think this question probably changed my life, because I can't think of any at this age. But I sure can start listing them like a month from now.
Yeah.
I think I was like, you know, when you're like, that's on your application, like you need to be in clubs.
Right.
Clubs. I'm not allowed to do after school things. I watch my sister.
Yeah.
Fuck, I got to join some clubs. Quill and scroll.
Wait, why did you have to wait for like university?
For your college transfer.
For college.
Yeah. And so if I didn't know that to be the sassiest girl in America, you had to support lots of causes and know how to buy canned turkey for people. And so anyway, cut to me real soon being a member of everything.
Right. Yeah. I regret to say all my philanthropy was on behalf of band. Like maybe they'd made us do some kind of Catholic bullshit at school that I don't remember. But I had to sell. I had to do tag sales and I sold chocolate almonds and all that stuff. It was all fundraising for band.
I never did any of that because that meant dealing with the public.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you get those student muggers outside of the department stores in the mall. You know, they got the chocolates that are like 69-cent chocolates. They sell for $4 or whatever.
Yeah, that was me selling them.
Yeah, I would never do that because it was a waste of my time and I didn't want to deal with the public and it was scary to go out and talk to strangers. Not because of stranger danger, but because you don't know how to talk to people.
Right.
So my notes under charity work say, ha, 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 because it would never happen.
Question 9. If you could trade places with any famous person, past or present, who would it be? Why, Pam?
Oh, was there why? Because I think I just wrote Winona Ryder.
Oh my God, me too! She was having a pretty cool life at this time, really just kept getting better for a while. So Winona Ryder was my answer too. She wasn't even dating Johnny Depp yet at this time.
Didn't even look back. No, I wasn't like past. I want this one.
Yeah.
This lady's life.
There was a Time magazine cover story about George Lucas, and the photo was him amongst all this archive stuff at Lucasfilms, like all the Death Star models and all the little ships and the head of Yoda and all that kind of stuff in this room. He's just surrounded by it. And I thought, wow, if I was George Lucas, I would have the best fucking Star Wars toys. And that's kind of where my brain went.
He did. And he did. You were right. All right, our final question. How would you donate the $5,000, Pam?
I wrote save the whales.
Okay.
I think that's probably what I would have answered in my application. Not knowing who the whale or where the whales or which whales or if it's the place or actual whale. Like, I wouldn't know. But I would have just been like, save the whales, free Tibet. Because I don't think you could say free Tibet yet. That was pre-free Tibet.
What right. kind of whales was that again? What, is Michael Caine in the house?
Oh, I'm Adam Sandler. Come see my movie. Sea movie.
Michael Caine as a whale. Sounds like this.
Because he's from Wales. He's from the south of Wales.
Nope.
No? No? I think I'm really on the spot here. I'm going to just now send you voice memos. Excellent. Michael Sandler Canes.
Here's what I want to happen, though, that you send them to the wrong email address that you've been sending stuff to or you thought you were to Dave.
We
got to
tell that story very quickly.
Years! I've been sending stuff to the wrong Dave Cole, you guys. Who I assume is a fan of the podcast now because he's heard my side of it at least twice.
So I recently, like in the last couple of years, changed my address from one that I've been using a long time at glark.org to cole.fyi is my new domain. And if you want to email me, you can email me at david@cole.fyi. So I let Pam know this at a certain point in time. And she's like, you're no longer using Dave at DaveCole.com. I'm like, I have never owned DaveCole.com. I've never sent that out. And she went back into her, because Pam's a digital pack rat, she went back into her email, found the first time she ever emailed me at that address. And what year was that? Do you remember?
I don't know. It was many ago.
Over a decade ago. So for a decade, I've not been getting any correspondence from Pam unless it was a direct reply to something I sent to her. Any original email from Pam to me has been going to this poor real estate agent in Colorado who just, why didn't he write back and say, it's not me. It's not me.
I don't know. Like, he's like, this poor girl. You know, I have to assume there's a bunch of Dave Coles out there who are very excited about getting other Dave Coles mail. I don't know this as a person who nobody else has this name.
It's a burden we all carry. Mm-hmm. Dave Coles. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, there's a responsibility all of you guys have for each other to not be dicks.
You should start a group text, Dave, with all the other Dave Coles. We compare notes.
There's a couple Dave Coles that we don't want to associate with. There's white supremacist Nazi Dave Cole out there.
Yeah. Is that why you're on the no-fly list?
I think a Dave Cole from part of one of the C's and CNC Music Factory is a Dave Cole. I'm not sure if that's the one that's no longer with us or not. Mm-hmm. So, you know, good and bad.
Sure. That's probably what Michigan Cole thinks, too. He's like, I don't want in on whatever this lady's talking about for 10 years.
It's Colorado Cole.
Same Michigan. Difference.
What did I say?
Michigan. It's from Colorado. You see, this is the problem. You're not keeping track of your Dave Coles.
It's your Dave's Cole.
Yes, your Dave's Cole.
So I would have donated the $5,000 to the American Oceans campaign because here's how mature I was. I was a 13-year-old who had a crush on its founder, Ted Danson, and I read about it in Elle magazine. So that is a true answer.
He seems a little old for you.
Yeah, he was probably like in his late 40s at this time. Like, I mean, it's fine. I was never going to meet him. But yeah, that was one of the people I had a crush on. Like him and Matthew Broderick. What? Talk about running the gamut.
But, I mean, if you put Ferris Bueller and any Ted Danson character together, you get Dave.
That's right. Dave, where are you going to donate this money?
This answer is not me trying to be glib, but this is like genuinely how I would try to wing it back then. Mm-hmm. Probably try to establish my own nonprofit and donate that money to myself.
Wow.
It's a criminal mind sort of answer, but I will admit one of my father's traits is he definitely had a criminal mind. My father, the police officer, always is trying to, not so much criminal mind, but work the system.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Be a more polite way of saying it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really, like, have a cause back then that I would knowingly give money to. And $5,000 is a lot of money. That's going to buy a lot of computer stuff, a lot of Premiere and Starlog magazines and whatnot.
Yeah. But you were also going to win money.
Yeah, you win $10,000.
Yeah, you win $10,000. You were also going to try to scam the charity part?
Well, maybe.
Yes.
Pretty greedy, I guess. It doesn't really change my answer, but I guess if I was forced
to care?
Honestly, for me, like charities, because I wasn't paying attention, the only charities I probably would have been aware of would be the ones that advertised on TV. Mm-hmm. So I'd probably end up giving it to some shitty charity like United
Ducks
Way
Unlimited.
Or something like that. Or, yeah, something like that. Yeah. Something that just was big enough and inefficient enough to have advertising on TV was where I would waste my money.
Wouldn't you give it to DARE? Because you don't like the smokers, right? Yeah, I bet that's
bad news.
Mm-hmm. You'd be like, "Dear Tipper Gore, here's some money."
So here's what we're going to do. Everybody listening, we're going to put this application up. You guys can fill it in. We're going to read your responses. And we are going to choose the sassiest listen to sassy listener in America / wherever you live. And we are going to donate. What amount are we going to donate?
$5.
No, come on.
No, guys, never change.
How about like $150?
Okay.
Whoever wins, we are going to let them say for this final question how you would donate $150. We will donate that to the organization or aid cause of your choice. So please go to the website. We'll have the link in the show notes. Fill out this application just for fun. Either how you would answer it now, how you would answer it in 1988. It's your call.
Oh, really?
No, they should answer it like we did.
Yeah, 13.
Okay, well, what if they're too young?
Answer it like when you're in high school.
Okay, sure. Yes. Answer as your high school self. That's fair. Go to the show notes and find that link. Fill it out.
You, too, could be the sassiest. Listen to Sassy Sassier of the sassiest podcast in America. or nearby.
Yes. And this is just for funsies. We're not, like, trying to steal your identity or anything. So don't worry about it. We're not going to sell this information to anyone. We swear to God.
Gosh.
Not enough money in it.
Next time, we'll be talking about the teen life topics of the June 1988 issue. You'll learn what happens when you get turned on sexually. You'll meet a couple of 11-year-old geniuses. Pam will probably have some feelings about the short story, which revolves around a crush on a skater boy. And that's just the beginning. For my plug this week, Andrea Blaugrund Nevins, a former producer on Jane Pratt's talk show, directed a documentary for FX called Hysterical about women in stand-up comedy. I reviewed it at primetimer.com. We'll link it in the show notes. And since I mentioned it, you can also buy my bad teen novel on Amazon. We self-published it like 20 years ago as a goof.
Vitamins!
Yeah, I never got around to giving it a title, so it's literally just called Untitled : A Bad Teen Novel, and it is. I really did write it when I was in grade 8, so right around this time that we are talking about in our lives. Anyway, it's on Amazon. We'll link that in the show notes too.
You can follow Tara on Twitter or Instagram at Tara Ariano. You can follow Pam on Twitter at Pamela Ribbon. And you can follow the show on both Twitter and Instagram at Listen to Sassy. Please rate and review us on the podcast app of your choice. That helps us get the word out to more listeners.
Yeah, and you can also call us. Our hotline is 720-SASSY-GO. Please leave us a voicemail about the show or a magazine. Oh, I mean, honestly, clearly, whatever you're thinking about while you're snowshoeing, we're going to play it on a future podcast. How do you feel about?
What are your thoughts about platypi?
The common platypus. You can find more information about... You can find more information about the podcast, visual aids for all our episodes, and contact info for all of us at our website. Listen to sassy.com. I think you'll agree it's a pretty good impression.
That was a fantastic Elmer Fudd. Congratulations.
Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time.
This is where the sign-off would go if you people would actually send in your sign-off suggestions. We were serious. Hotline, listentosassy@gmail.com. Either way, send us your suggestions and you will live forever via the end of our podcast.
Kevin Coogan forever.
Thank you. We've heard enough. Thank you.